Yes, Joy. Oh, they all are? Oh, no. Joy had what is she, three or four or two? Two. Had a couple of different viruses and was in the hospital, really sick. And they've been trying to keep her away from the newborn and the rest of the family, and evidently it didn't work. So the whole crew's, or part of the crew, has it now. So let's really pray for them. It's tough to have a newborn, then to have a bunch of sick kids and be sick yourself. And we went to visit her in the hospital, and I kind of stepped, I opened the door and stepped in, and that's as far as I went. So hopefully, hopefully we won't get it. But I did not. I did not. And now I'm thankful that I didn't. So, all right. Lord, we do thank you today for who you are. And there are people here today who need a God like you. And I pray that you would just comfort and minister and help people. Think of Josh now as they'll get this report Tuesday. Lord, our prayer, our desire is that the cancer be gone. And pray that you'd work in Josh's life spiritually and physically and really help him in these days. Think of Leroy as he'll start these treatments soon. We do pray they'd be effective in taking this cancer out of his body. Lord, think of Keith Cole with this colon surgery and having some complications. Pray that you touch him and raise him up. For Rose Lane there in the hospital, we pray that you touch her. And for Mike, as they're trying to get this heart back in rhythm, pray that you'd minister in his life, help this medication to work. Give direction to the doctor as he goes and sees the doctor Tuesday. Others that have told me this morning of some very private special needs, God, pray that you would just minister in their lives. And we thank you that we have a God we can run to in time of need. Now bless as we look at your word, in Jesus' name, amen. We're in 1 Kings chapter 17. And again, I had intended to cover this in one Sunday. It looks like three at this point. So we'll just go until we're done, and then we'll go to chapter 18. That seems like a brilliant plan, doesn't it? I want to start this morning by reading you a statement, let you meditate and think about it for just a moment. What is faith? Now, we have a lot of definitions, but I want you to listen carefully. Faith is staking everything upon God's word. Faith is staking everything on God's word, wagering upon the veracity or the truthfulness of God. Faith is trusting solely in God's word, trusting solely in the faithfulness of God. Let me give you one other, kind of similar. Faith is leaning all of our weight on the word of God. On the word of God. That's what faith is. One of the verses I gave to the young lady Thursday is Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. That's what faith is. Trust. Believe. Now we started this lesson last week or 2 weeks ago really. And the thought was, can we trust the Word of God? Can we trust the Word of God? All throughout 1 Kings chapter 17, we find the phrase, the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord. Elijah spoke the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord came to Elijah. And the first area we covered was the area of prayer. Can we trust what God's Word says about prayer? Is this important to you? Is it important to you whether you can trust God in this area of prayer or not? When this word speaks about prayer, can we trust it? Now, if you build your belief about prayer on experience, you're in trouble. Can we trust what God's word says about prayer? And Elijah staked his life on that truth. And he springs on the scene in chapter 17. There are wicked times. Ahab is king. He is a wicked king who has a wicked wife. And they have moved to Baal worship. They are a god who is supposedly the god of rain. And Elijah just walks into the palace and said, hey buddy, I am the servant of the, what kind of god? living God. And he said, I want you to know something. He said, it's not going to rain. There'll be no rain. There'll be no dew until I say so. Now, how could he do that? Elijah knew the word of God. In Deuteronomy 11 and 28, God said, if you worship false idols, I'm going to take away the rain. And so in James chapter 5, we learn that Elijah prayed. And he prayed and he prayed that it wouldn't rain. And he staked his life and his reputation on the fact that God keeps his word. And he simply prayed the word of God. He might have said, Lord, you told us that if your people worship false gods, you would withhold the rain. And Lord, look what they're doing. They're worshiping Baal. God, withhold the rain. Stop the rain. Stop the dew. And that's exactly what God did. Wow, that's powerful. That a man can pray and stop the rain, and not just the rain, but also the dew. You see, folks, prayer moves the hand of God. Who controls the weather? Well, God does. And Elijah, through prayer, was able to touch and move the hand of God. And you know what happened? It didn't rain. There was no rain. There was no dew. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we also looked at Jeremiah 33:3. Let's say that together. Can we do that? If you haven't memorized, let's say it together. Here it is. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. What a great verse. If you don't have it memorized, you ought to memorize it. Great verse. And then preacher's song, just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord in heaven will answer you. God keeps his promise. His what? His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. What a wonderful thought, folks, that we can trust God when it comes to prayer. Now, let's be honest. Every person in this room who's a believer has been tempted at some point in your life because of experience to conclude that God does not answer prayer. Now, can you trust the Word of God with what it says about prayer? Elijah did. Elijah did. All right, let's move on to the second area. Not only can we trust God's Word about prayer, but can we trust God's Word about provision? About provision. Now let's look at our text, chapter 17, verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. What's the next word? There. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. God's provision. Now, can you imagine what happened? Now, I don't know. It could be that Ahab heard him speak and said, what a nutcase. Nothing's going to happen. What an idiot. And then it didn't rain the next day. And it didn't rain the next day. And after about a month, you think Ahab was going, And after a couple months, where is that Elijah? Where is that nutcase that came in here and said it wasn't going to rain? The prophet of the living God. I can imagine if you'd gone to the post office and you saw the 10 most wanted, at that point, Elijah would be number one. I mean, they were out to get him. And you can imagine, Ahab was the king. He had rule over the territory. He had his people, his spies everywhere. You can imagine that Elijah was in great danger. And not only that, we find out later on that while he was in hiding, Jezebel was killing many of the prophets of God. And you just know, wouldn't Jezebel have loved to get her hands on Elijah? So we've got a real problem here. Elijah needs a place where he can hide safely, where he can be provided for. And God comes to him and said, Elijah, I've got a place for you. I want you to go to this place called Cherith, and I will provide your needs. I will meet your needs there. Now think about it. He needed a secret place. What's the problem with a secret place? Well, you're probably not anywhere near civilization, so there's no food. So here he is in the middle of a drought. He needs water. He needs food. And God said, I've got a place prepared for you. And if you will go there, I will take care of you. So what did Elijah do? Elijah said in verse 5, well, that's a stupid idea. I can think of a whole lot better places to go than there, right? No, he said, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. So God had this secluded place for him. And here he goes to hide. But I wonder, here he is in the place God said to go to. Can he trust the word of God? God said, you go there and I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. I will meet your need. The promise of provision. God said, you go there and I'll do it. What if he went there and there was no water? What if the water ran out? What if he went there and there's no food? What if he went there and the king found him? Can he trust the word of God when it comes to this matter of provision? Now let me ask you, are there some verses that we know in the word of God that teach us about God's provision? There's one that should come to all of our minds immediately, and then another one I want to look at. What verse should come to your mind immediately? Thank you, Tim. But my God shall supply most of your needs. Right? But my God shall supply all of your needs. I'm going to look at that in a moment, but I want you to flip over to Matthew chapter 11 first, or excuse me, Matthew 7. Matthew 7. And you're familiar with this passage. We actually touched on it last week in this matter of prayer. Matthew 7, 7. And when we asked you 2 weeks ago for prayer promises, I think Craig gave us this one, Matthew 7, 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? What is God saying? Look, you have needs and I'm going to meet those needs. If you'll ask, I want to meet your needs. But then I want to really focus on Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply, what's the next word? All your wants. If you want it, if you name it and claim it, God's going to give it to you, right? Is that what it says? No, obviously not. All your needs. Now, the next part of the verse is interesting. It does not say, out of his riches. What does it say? According to his riches in glory. If he gave out of his riches, what does that do to his riches? Yeah, but he didn't do that. He's going to give you according to his riches. Well, what kind of riches does God have? What does God own? Everything. Well, that makes it simple, doesn't it? All right. In 1 Corinthians 10:26, it says, the earth is the Lord's. Okay. So probably what you need, if it's physical, is in the earth, wouldn't you think? It all belongs to God. So the one who promised to meet your needs is the one who owns everything. I mean, you could come to me, Larry could come to me to say, Gary, boy, he said, I need $20,000 or I'm going to lose my house. And I would say, I'll pray for you. I don't have $20,000. But if Larry goes to God, can God provide $20,000? Sure. Sure. Think about the Lord's Prayer. Is there a portion of the Lord's Prayer that talks about provision? Yeah, give us this day our daily bread. Now, we like that part. What comes before that? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then he says, you see, if Elijah hadn't gone there, I don't think Elijah's needs would have been met. God said, you get in the center of my will, you get there, and I'm going to meet your needs. Now, could it be that one of the reasons our needs are not being met, if that's the case, is because we're not there? See, God wants us there, and we're over here. Just change a little bit there, okay. God says, look, you get in the center of my will, and I'm going to take care of your needs. I'm going to meet those needs. Now, let's think about what happened to Elijah. So here he goes, this brook. So there's a brook, so what do we got? Oh, you guys are sharp this morning. Very good. So we got water. Okay, we got water. Things go. What about food? I wish you guys didn't know these stories. It'd be so much more exciting if I could tell you exactly what happened. You say, ooh, wow. But since you were kids, you heard about the big ravens, these 2-foot-long black birds who are scavengers, who eat other animals, who eat roadkill, chariot kill, you know, back in the day. And that's the kind of animal that brought him his meal every morning. Every evening. Can you imagine? I just imagine old Elijah sitting there. Well, it's 8 o'clock, time for breakfast. Plop, you know. Now, I don't know what kind of food it was. I don't know if it was bread. I don't know if it was meat. I don't know if it was, hopefully it wasn't roadkill. And that, you know, I have no idea, But you know, he'd eat that and the day would go along and it's 6 o'clock at night, it's time for supper, and here they'd come. Can you imagine that? Every day, the Raven Express, the most unlikely, unclean, they are listed as unclean animals in the Bible, just along with vultures. Is there anything more ugly than a vulture? That's a valid point, yeah. Especially when you're about to run them over, you know. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. But these are nasty birds, and yet God chose to provide for him every day by these crazy birds. Isn't that amazing? Now, you see, those birds only came to Cherith. That's where their drop-off point was. If he'd been someplace else, sorry, buddy. Now, you've heard that story all your life, but think of the miracle that these wicked, filthy birds were used of God to feed that boy every single day. So he had water, the brook. Got water, we got food, we're in seclusion, we're safe, it's all good. Until, you know, when it doesn't rain, what happens to the brooks? Well, over time, Elijah's sitting there and thinks, you know, he may have a little piece of chalk and he's marking the water level, you know. Ooh. And every day, that water level's going down and pretty soon it's a trickle. And then the brook dries up. Wait a minute. This is where God sent him. God said, you go there, and I'll take care of your needs. Let me ask you a question. It's easy to trust God when the brook's running, when the ravens are bringing the food in? What about when the brook dries up? Have you ever had your brook dry up? Elijah did. Turn back to 1 Kings 17. What happens when the brook dries up? Well, God knew all about that, didn't he? And so in verse 8, and the word of the Lord came at him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. There's that word again. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, I don't know what went through his mind, but there's a couple things you need to know. He said, I want you to go to this place called Zidon, or Sidon. It's got several names. And in the city of Zarephath, you go there, and I'm going to take care of you. Well, we got a real problem here. Do you remember who came from Sidon? Jezebel. That was Jezebel's home country. And you know who ruled in Sidon? You do. Her father. That's exactly right. Now, if I was Elijah, I'd say, wait a minute. Have we thought this through? I mean, they're trying to kill me. They're trying to hunt me down. And you want me to go there? And not only that, God said, wouldn't it have been nice if God had said, I have a fast food restaurant there for you to take care of you? And he said, I've got a widow there for you. Now, if I'd been Elijah, I'd been thinking, oh, God's a great God. He's got a great plan. Probably her husband was very wealthy. He died. So she's got lots of money now, lots of food, lots of water. This is going to be a great place to go. I'll go over there, and this widow who's got all kinds of stuff is going to take care of me. It's not a bad plan. Don't really like the location, but God says to do it, so I'm going to do it. And it's interesting, again, look what it says about Elijah in verse 10. So he argued with the Lord for 3 weeks. Right? So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. Uh-oh, that doesn't sound good. And he called her and said, fetch, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, oh, by the way, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Uh-oh. What was God thinking? Can you imagine what's going through Elijah's mind? Lord, Elijah here. This widow you sent me to, she doesn't have anything. In fact, they're about to make their last meal and die. Is this the wrong address? My GPS? Maybe, you know, recalculating the route or something? We need to do something here. Whoa, this doesn't sound good. And all she has left to eat is a little bit of meal, a little bit of oil in the cruse. That's it. Now listen to what Elijah does. And Elijah says to her in verse 13, fear not, go and do as thou said, but make me there a little cake first and bring it unto me and after for thee and thy son. Wait a minute. Whoa. What is the guy doing? This is all the food she's got. She's going to eat and die. And he said, no, you don't get to eat it. I want it. Isn't it amazing the faith this widow had? What would you have said? Some guy comes off the street, knocks on your door, and you're eating your last meal. And you've got nothing. No money, nothing in the cupboard. And Mark Randolph strolls to your door. You've never seen before in your life.
Now you're talking.
Big, healthy, strong guy. And he says, hey, I don't have a home or anything, and I need something to eat. I know you just only have enough for yourself, but hey, could I have it?
Preach it.
Mark would do such a thing, too. And Elijah says to her, look, you fix me a meal. You take care of me. In verse 14, for thus saith the Lord of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Wow. Now, it's interesting to me. It wasn't that she fed him and suddenly a U-Haul pulled up full of barrels of meal and cruses of oil. You know, it wasn't like, okay, we got 3 years supply now, it's okay. Can you imagine this, folks? Every morning, she would dig down in that barrel and take out the last of the meal, the last of the oil of the cruse, and they would eat it. And then supper time came, and she'd go back to it, and that thing that had been empty that morning had some more in it. And so she would scrape it out and get all the meal out and pour the oil, you know, and hit the top and let it sit on its top for a while so she could drain all the oil out. I mean, that bad boy was empty. And she'd make one more meal and, well, this is it. And they get the next morning and look in that thing and holy smokes, there's some more meal in there. And there's some more oil in there. And this went on day after day after day after day. Wow. And God took care of Elijah and met his need every single day. Why? Why did God meet his need there? Because he said he would. That's exactly right. Because he said he would. You see, folks, Elijah felt he could trust the word of God when it came to the matter of provision. Do you think the Bible teaches we ought to give to God? Does that take faith? Now, not if you say, okay, look, I'm going to pay all my bills and if I have money left over, then I'll give it to the Lord. That doesn't take a whole lot of faith, does it? But when you sit down with all those bills and you say, okay, the Lord gets his portion first, then whatever happens, happens. That can take faith. Elijah simply trusted that God's word about provision was true. Now, I've got a couple more pages. Let me try to get through this very quickly. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Todd, this won't be in the notes. I've added this one, so don't look for it. Matthew 6:25. It's a great passage. Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. What does that mean? Don't worry, okay? Don't worry for your life what ye shall, this is for the men, eat or what ye shall drink, and then just to help the ladies out, nor for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add, or by worrying, can add one cubit unto a stature? And why worry for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, for how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. They'll all be added. God is able to provide. Psalm 23. Quote it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, if God's your shepherd, you're in good shape. in my Bible reading, I've been reading through the book of Genesis as I start reading through the Bible again this year. And in Genesis chapter 22, a great story about Abraham and his son Isaac. And you remember that story. God had told Abraham, I'm going to make you a mighty nation. Your seed is going to be like the stars of the sky, the sand of the shore. Only one problem. Didn't have any children. And so he got a little antsy about it. Took Hagar, had a child named Ishmael. And then finally, after many years, God gave Sarah a child named Isaac. He was the chosen one. He was the one that God would bring about all the promises to Abraham through. One day, God comes to Abraham and says, I want you to take Isaac, your son, your only son. You don't have a choice about which son here, buddy. I want you to take Isaac. I want you to take him to a certain place, and I want you to sacrifice. I want you to take the life of your own son. Can you imagine that? So they travel several days. They get to the mountain. They're about to go up. And he tells the servants to stay there. And he says, I and the lad will come back. There's some faith. Because he knew that God wanted him to kill his own son. And can you, in your mind's eye, picture that scene as they build the altar together? Isaac has carried the wood on the up there, and they make to put the wood on there. And Isaac said, Dad, we got the wood, we got the fire, we got the altar, but where's the sacrifice? And what did Abraham say? God himself will, or God will provide for himself a lamb. And he goes through and he puts his son on the altar and he takes that knife. Can you see that? Can you imagine what Abraham's heart must have been feeling? The promised son, and he's going to take the son of his own life, and he has the knife up there, and he's about to come down and slay his only son, and he's about to finish the job that God had told him to do. My, what faith. And he's coming down, and an angel, oh, wait, stop. And he looks around, and what does he find? A ram, and it says, his thorns were caught in the thicket. Or excuse me, his horns, thank you. Wouldn't be a thorn. His horns were caught, thank you, Steve, appreciate the help, in the thicket. How'd that crazy ram get there? Had it been there the whole time? I don't think so. I think God just put it there, or he would have seen it before. And Abraham took that ram and slew it, and they worshiped God. But what did he call that place? He named that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord seeth. The Lord seeth. Now, what's the idea? We could also say, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Because you see, God knows your need today. God sees. He's known about Josh, by the way, since eternity past. This is nothing new to him. Leroy, he's known all about your situation for years. I mean, God sees, God knows. But it means more than just God knows. It means God will provide. God will provide. And I want to encourage you in the Lord today that we have a God who can and will provide your needs. And how do we know that? Mark, what's our answer? He said he would. And God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, he's going to do it. And God said it right here, and he's going to do it. We can trust God to provide and to meet our needs simply because he said he would. He said he would. Lord, we thank you today that you're a God that we can trust. And there are people in this room this morning who need you to provide for them in a mighty way. And I pray that you'd help them simply to trust your word, trust the Word of God and to see you work in their lives in a mighty, miraculous way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks. Lord willing, we'll try to finish the chapter next week.